The title of my sermon this morning is first part, and next Sunday I shall bring you the second part entitled Safety in Keeping Our Focus on God. Safety in Keeping Our Focus on God. I read what a commentator say regarding the main character of the sermon this morning, Elijah. He said, no career in the Old Testament is more vividly portrayed or has as much fascination as that of the unique character of Elijah. If you know the story of Elijah, you probably would agree so. For my case, I first heard of the prophet Elijah about 1 year after I got saved. And it was at a church camp. You know, in the olden, not olden days, in years back, church camp, we used to have skit, S-K-I-T, you know, like different group will put up a skit. And I remember this skit, it was an enactment of Elijah calling down fire from the sky, from heaven, to consume that bullock. Remember, that was the scene. And guess who acted as the bullock that was to be slaughtered? Not me. It was one of our missionary that we support. It was Brother Wei Chi. Brother Lam Wei Chi, he was the bullock. During that time, it was at St. John Island. And I was immediately impressed by this prophet of God, Elijah. You know, I was fascinated by how he was able to perform miracles, how he had victories over evil, how he was so amazing. He was just amazing. And I was just so fascinated. But a few years later, I heard part two of the story of Elijah. How this same faithful servant of God, this mighty prophet of God, fled from his enemy, Queen Jezebel. And next week I will tell you, there are sometimes something you don't listen to your wife. You should not listen to your wife. Especially, I hope none of the wives is like Queen Jezebel. Alright, this is one wife that King Ahab shouldn't have listened to. Alright, but anyway. So, this mighty prophet fled from the queen, Queen Jezebel, and threw a pity party for himself. What a change, I thought. What a change. Just like that, over a couple of chapters, what a change. What a difference in spirituality, I thought. By no means am I going to criticize this great prophet of God, Elijah. I'm in no position. None of us is in any position to do that. But we're going to observe what caused the change. What caused the change of this man of God? How was Elijah affected? What caused Elijah to stumble from being victorious to being defeated? And the answer, simply put, is that Elijah took his eyes off God. Elijah took his eyes off God. As Christians, we ought to never take our eyes off God. Never to take our eyes off God. To remain spiritually focused on our God, it is vital that we simply trust and obey Him and seek to glorify Him in all that we do. So this morning we will look at just the first part of Elijah's story, how he was victorious. How he was victorious. Right? Being Chinese New Year, right? We need to just look at the good part. Victorious. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer and then I'll carry on. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again that we can be in your house on this Lord's Day. And as we open up your word to look at the story of Elijah, how he was victorious, Father, help us to see what made him so. It was you, Lord, not him. And likewise, you can make us victorious if only we put our eyes and focus our eyes on you. So help us, God, to learn from your word this morning and even to apply the same truth that we learn on our own life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Elijah, he was victorious. He was victorious because his eyes were on Jehovah God, the one who would truly enable him to perform miracles and overcome evil. His eyes were on God. Elijah's focus on God could be seen in the words he spoke and the way he took. The words he spoke, which we will look at as we go through 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1 to 24. I don't usually preach through a couple of chapters on one morning, but I'll do so today. We'll be looking at 1 Kings chapter 17 from verse 1 to 24. We will look firstly at Elijah by the brook Cherith. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, which is the first appearance of Elijah, we see how God told Elijah to announce the weather forecast. The weather forecast for the next few years, not just for the next day, next week, or next month, but for the next few years to King Ahab and the nation of Israel. Notice what he said in verse 1 to King Ahab. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years. Notice, that's what Elijah said to King Ahab. And you know how weather reports are, right? They are based on instruments. Anyone work in the Met office? No, right? Okay. They are based on instruments and they are seldom accurate. But notice what Elijah said. Notice how he said it. Elijah was ready to trust and obey God. He was ready to trust and obey God, not some instrument or whatever. He said, as the Lord God. His basis, his weather report was based on the Lord God. As the Lord God said, there shall not be. Remember, notice how he said it? He believed God's word and he obeyed God's command. Elijah did not question God nor argue with God when God told him, go and announce to a king Ahab that there shall be no rain for the next 3 years. He didn't argue. Elijah was full of faith. He declared, before whom I stand. If Elijah had not that great faith in God, do you think he would say that? Before whom I stand. Would he be so daring as to put up the sign and to declare, I am representing God? Because of his faith in the Lord, Elijah was fearless. He was bold. He was confrontational towards the wickedness that was in Israel at that time. And because Elijah desired to do the will of God, he was depending on God to lead him one step at a time. Whatever God told him to do, he did it. He allowed God to direct his steps. The wise man in Proverbs understands when he wrote in Proverbs chapter 16 verse 9, a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. As human, as intelligent humans, we can think and plan all that we want. But as children of God, we need to understand, we need to remember, if we desire to be in the will of God, we have better trust and obey God and allow Him to direct our steps. We may devise our plan, alright, but allow God to direct our steps. So the question to ask ourselves is, what kind of faith do you have? What kind of faith do we have? Are you believing based on your personal experiences or even the experiences of others? Or is it based on a self-comforting assurance that originated from you? You know how Chinese New Year is? You know how Chinese are with so much superstition? You know where a lot of this superstition came from? They came from personal experiences. Because so and so did this thing that year and he prospered. So it must be beneficial. So let's follow. But it didn't work for me. So I changed it a bit and I prosper. So everybody start doing different things based on other people's experiences. These are called superstition. And these are beliefs based on other people's experiences. Is your belief something like that? Because so and so read the Bible every day, so he prosper. So I'll better read the Bible every day so that I will prosper. No, that's not how what obedience is all about. Obedience is not doing something, expecting something in return. And obedience is based on what God said in His Word. So what kind of faith do you have? Based on experience or based on your self-assuring assurance? In order to be sure and strong, to be steady and bold like Elijah, our faith has to be established not on experiences, not on how we feel, but on the Word of God. The Word of God, as Elijah did, as the Lord saith, right? He did. Notice also that by faith, Elijah allowed God to take care of him. Elijah allowed God to take care of him. We don't know much about Elijah. In fact, we know nothing about Elijah prior to chapter 17. He just appeared from nowhere. Right? He appeared. And here we know that Elijah allowed God to take care of him. After his confrontation with King Ahab, Elijah was told, was given a second order. He was told to take cover at the brook Cherith. In verse 3, God told him, "Get these hands and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan." And at the brook, we know that was where ravens, a kind of birds, ravens brought bread and meat to him twice daily. In verse 6, "And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook." Now, I want you to notice, if you have not already, that there was nothing special about the bread and meat. Nothing. Nothing special about that. What's amazing is that God chose to use ravens. What does it make you think of? Scavenger, crow, right? You know, ravens are known for their greediness. Ravens are known for not feeding their young ones. So how would you expect ravens to feed someone else? I mean, can you imagine the raven who is greedy and not even feeding his own young one, having a piece of bakwa, you know, on its beak and not chewing it and swallowing it halfway through getting to this Elijah? It's just unimaginable. But yet ravens were used of God to feed Elijah. Right? God chose to use these creatures to serve him and his tired servants. And then we know the story following: a poor and starving widow who was ready to have her last meal and die of salvation was used of God to feed Elijah further. In verse 9 to 13, God told Elijah again, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." So Elijah must be thinking, okay, what woman is this? So he arose and he went. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." Kind of bossy, I thought. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, also a roti prata with egg," you know. That was kind of demanding. "A morsel of bread in thy hand." And then she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I was actually gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." That was so pathetic. And then Elijah said unto her, "Oh, I'm so sorry, I shouldn't have been bothering you. I need to go." He said, "Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. Because I'm hungry." No, because he had a promise from God. "But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son." Again, we see here that God could have used, you know, a traveling merchant to feed Elijah, or God could have used a well-to-do a family to feed Elijah. But no, God chose a woman, a widow, with her son, who was going to eat her last meal and die to feed another man. That's just beyond my imagination, beyond my expectation. God just choose to use to in unexpected ways to fulfill his will. And I believe that God is showing Elijah, his servant, in a very simple way that he is in control. He is still in control of the situation, no matter how bad it seems. You know, in the desert or in the brook, at the brook, God is in control. God can still make things happen. Under whatever circumstances, God is still able to provide for his own. I think God is trying to show Elijah that. I think God is trying to show Elijah that not you, no one else can claim the glory. Only God can. Because he is the one whom, if he wills, he can. If he wills, he can. You know how we are so prone to plan everything out for God? You know how we share our prayer requests? You know, I like to pray for this particular, like the church to pray for this particular thing, and I hope the church can pray for me that this thing would happen, so that that thing would happen, and that thing would happen, so that I would have this thing would happen to me. No, we have everything planned out for God, and if something else happened, we say, no, that didn't come from God, because I want God to do things this way. I heard a story, definitely it's not real. It's about a Christian who was shipwrecked and landed on an island, and he prayed. He said, "God, send me a big cruise that would pass by, and then would send a small boat to rescue me so that I can go on board and have a good meal and things like that." And then he waited and waited, and a helicopter came and said, "Hey, would you like to climb up the ladder?" "No, my God is sending me a cruise." And then something else passed by, a sampan, and then said, "No, I'm waiting for my cruise." Finally, he died of hunger, and then he asked the Lord, "Why, Lord, you didn't answer my prayer? Why didn't you save me?" And the Lord said, "I did. I sent you the helicopter, I sent you this, I sent you that. You didn't want to take it." That's our problem. That's our problem. We plan everything for God, and we fix God. We put God in a box. But the fact is, God works in unexpected way. His way is higher than us. His thoughts are way beyond us, ours. Right? If he will, he can. Remember that. So, don't put God in a box. And then Elijah allowed God to perform supernatural acts through him. Because of his obedience to God, because of him allowing God to work through him, first Elijah was used of God to feed the widow and her son with meal and oil, which lasted them through the drought. And how long was the drought supposed to be?
3 years.
3 years. Can you find me a barrel that can hold 3 years of oil? No. I'll show you how big is a barrel later on. Alright, in verse 14 and 15, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days." And we know how the story goes. Later on, the son died all of a sudden, and then Elijah was once again used by God to raise the widow's sons from the dead. Verse 21, "And he," Elijah, "stretched himself upon the child 3 times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Up to this point, all that Elijah said and did were based on the trust that he had on the word of God and for the glory of God. He did not for a moment doubt God's ability to take care of him. No, I don't find in any of the verses that Elijah doubted God. In contrast, another familiar story that we find in the New Testament, where the disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, they responded differently when they were with him in that boat in that terrifying storm. Remember that particular scene? As rain was pouring heavily and the waves were covering the boat, the disciples began to look at themselves and the surroundings rather than the deliverer who was with them in the boat. I say that again. They began to look at themselves and the surrounding rather than the deliverer who was with them in the boat. And their final conclusion, because they were looking at themselves and the surrounding, was a hopeless one. Their final conclusion was two words. We perish. We perish. And it would happen the same to us. When we take our eyes off God and look at ourselves, we say, jalak. We die. That's it. We perish. In response, our Lord Jesus reprimanded the disciples in Matthew 8 verse 26. Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? O ye of little faith. Elijah was different. Elijah had his eyes fixed upon Jehovah God, and his ministry to the widow was truly successful when she declared in verse 24, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." That is truly a successful ministry. So, that was Elijah, how he was victorious at the brook of Cherith. And now we go on to Elijah at the Mount Carmel, where the exciting tournament, the exciting fire from heaven scene is. And that story is actually after 3.5 years. After 3.5 years, and Elijah was to bring the weather update. Right now it's after the drought. Elijah was to bring the weather update from God to the people of Israel again. And this time he was to make known to the people that God would send rain. That God would send rain. In Kings, 1 Kings chapter 18 verse 1, "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." This weather update was quickly followed by a challenge from Elijah to Baal. "Now therefore send," Elijah said, "and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel." Right? Elijah challenged the priests and the people of Israel who were worshipping Baal, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. I asked this question as I was studying the passages. I said, why did Elijah purposely challenge 850 prophets of Baal? Why? I mean, does he have nothing better to do? I mean, why do he have to give himself so much trouble? What was his reason for stirring up so much trouble? And we know that the Bible tells us that two bullocks were prepared, and I already told you who was one of the bullocks, right? Two bullocks were prepared for sacrifice, one for the prophets of Baal and the other for Elijah. Moreover, we are told that Elijah soaked his bullock with 12 barrels of water. And from one source, 12 barrels of water is about 117 liters of water. 117 liters of water is about a water tank measuring 8 by 7 by 2 meter. This is not just, you know, a few scoop of water. This is really putting the bulk into a water tank. Something like that. Alright, if this source is accurate regarding what a barrel is defined. Anyway, we read also in verse 21 that Elijah confronted the people at the tournament saying, "How long halt ye?" That means, how long do you want to hop? The word halt means have the sense of hop. How long halt ye between two opinions? You know, should I buy this or should I buy that? You know, that's what happened to us all the time when we go shopping. How long are you going to halt ye between the two blouse? So that's what Elijah was asking them. If the Lord be God, he said, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. So, to answer my own question, why did Elijah challenge 850 prophets of Baal? Why did he give himself so much trouble? The answer is, the purpose of this battle was not to show off. The purpose of this battle was not to create trouble for himself. The purpose of this battle between Elijah and the evil prophets was that Elijah, was that Israel, would know who the real God is. That is the purpose. The purpose is for the glory of God. Elijah told the prophets of Baal in verse 24, "And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, my God. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God." Elijah's desire was very simple. It was to glorify God by believing in him. It was to glorify God by believing in him. You know how we can do the same to give God the glory when we believe in him? You know how we do not give God the glory if we doubt him? We do the same to give God the glory when we believe on him to save us from sin, death and hell. You know how we give God the glory when we believe in him to lead and guide us in this pilgrim's journey. So, it is our responsibility, it is our duty in fact, to glorify God by believing in him. And because of Elijah, who believed in God, he was strong and of good courage. He was strong and of good courage. He, first of all, he mocked. He mocked those foolish and wicked priests, for their bullock was not consumed. In verse 27, "And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake. That's why he didn't hear you. That's why he didn't consume your bullock." And Elijah was so bold because of his trust in God. He did not for a moment, doubt God's power to consume his bullock by fire. And he was not uncertain that God was with him and would answer his prayer by fire. We all need to be reminded that God is faithful to his every word in the Bible. We need to be reminded of that. The Apostle Paul reminds us with these simple words in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. "But the Lord is faithful." But the Lord is faithful. These five simple words. It's a good reminder to us whenever we doubt. Whenever we're not sure. Right? If God will hear us. If God will provide for us. If God will forsake us. But the Lord is faithful. But the Lord is faithful. We may fear at times. And we will doubt. It is just natural. But all the more, when we fear and when we doubt, we ought to keep our eyes fixed on God, just as Elijah did. Otherwise, when the fear takes over the faith in God, our situation will appear impossible and our path darken. So remember, if you want to be strong and of good courage like Elijah, keep your eyes on God. Notice also that Elijah was fully surrendered to God. He was fully surrendered to God. He prayed in verses 36 and 37, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Notice the way Elijah phrased his prayer to God. He phrased it in such a way that God would get all the glory. He phrased it in such a way, his declaration was that, God, I'm doing all these things for you, so that other people may know you, so that other people may turn to you, and I'm your servant and I'm not ashamed to declare it. God answered the prayer of his loyal servant, as we all know, with fire from the sky to consume Elijah's sacrifice, and the wood, the stone, the dust, and even the full tank of water. In verse 38 we read, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And Elijah did not forget to punish the prophets of Baal. In verse 40, and Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. What a day of glory for the Lord God. What a day of glory. Again, we see the purpose of Elijah to glorify God by believing in his word. He was showing the audience, he was showing the 850 prophets and more that God is true, that his God is true. As Elijah remained focused on Jehovah God, or God-centered, the way we say it today, he continued to be used of God in great and mighty ways. And we read in verse 39, and when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. What a glorious day. What a glorious day. And that is Elijah victorious. In the book of James, in the New Testament, the author describes Elijah as a man subject to like passions as we are. A man subject to like passions as we are. The words translated subject to like passions actually just mean that Elijah was as human as we are. As human as we are. You know, there's nothing special about Elijah. As you will see next week, he is like all of us. He can fail. He can fail. There's nothing special about Elijah. He was similarly affected like all of us do. The difference that we have seen in Elijah is that he kept his focus on the Lord God. That's the difference. The thing that is special about Elijah was that he kept his eyes on God. And the way to do so, as Elijah showed us, was through his ways and his words. Through his declaration, his trust and obedience to the word of God, and his actions that was based on God's will. He simply trusted and obeyed God, and he simply glorified God in all that he did. It's just as simple as that. By keeping his eyes on the Almighty God, Elijah was bold and ready to confront evil. He was dependent on God to lead him and to take care of him. He allowed God to use him, and he was not forgetful to magnify the name of God in return. Is that what we are doing? Is that what we are doing? You know, if you get nothing out of the past half an hour or so, then get this thing. There is nothing discouraging in God. Nothing. There's absolutely nothing discouraging in God. Have you taken your eyes off God and started to look at your circumstances, yourself, or others whom you think can help you? I'm prone to do that. I'm prone to come up with ways to solve this problem and solve that problem. I'm prone to come up with ideas. And many times when I started looking at others, I'm disappointed. But it is when I depend on God that I'm encouraged. How about you? Have you taken your eyes off God? Is God speaking to you to rededicate your life to Him? Is God telling you to say, look at me. Look unto me. God is willing to restore you. If you have turned away from God, God wants to restore you. But are you willing to ask God to restore you so that you can be as victorious as Elijah was? Keep your eyes on God. For remember, there is safety in keeping our focus on God. Whatever situation you are in, whatever desperation you are in, remember, there's nothing discouraging in God. So, look unto God. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly